This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
First of all, let me just say this right off the top of the show. If you need a trigger warning for the movie Goodfellas, you're not watching the movie Goodfellas. Nobody gets offended by Goodfellas, because the people that would get offended by Goodfellas are watching Good They Thems, okay? We don't need trigger warnings on Goodfellas. It's a classic. And as an Italian, I'm not offended, so shove it. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. It's Tuesday, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We have an abbreviated show again today since Penn State won yesterday, so I'm with you for at least the first half hour, and we'll take it from there. So let me just jump right into it. Did you know that it takes 3 cents to make a penny? So a penny costs 1 cent, but it takes 3 cents to make a penny. So the government is losing 2 cents for every 1 cent penny. Yeah, I know, that's the federal government for you. And coffee cups cost $1,200. So as they look at Doge and all the things they can cut, including regulation after regulation, 3 cent pennies, COVID clawbacks, and $1,200 cups of coffee. Bloated military spending. The Pentagon paid $1,220 per cup for special heated coffee cups, and 80 times the retail rate for a soap dispenser. There you go. And then they have a use it or lose it splurges. So at the end of the year, when they got money left over, they don't give it back to you. They don't give it back to me. No, they spend it. Like the Pentagon in September, they spent $4.6 million on lobster tail and crab and $12,000 on a foosball table in 2018. I don't know how big this foosball table was. I have no idea, but I hope it was really nice with carved little players on it, because that's a lot of money. 12 grand. I think I bought my foosball table for $200 from Costco. COVID fraud. The Biden administration sent hundreds of billions of COVID relief dollars to fraudsters. A U.S. attorney calls it the biggest fraud in a generation. Some swindlers who uploaded pictures of Barbie dolls as photo identification on the applications were even approved to receive money. Yes. And I guarantee you they didn't look nearly as good as a Barbie doll. Unspent COVID money. You know, there's still billions of dollars of unspent COVID money just sitting out there. The government, federal government, owns nearly 8,000 vacant buildings. Yeah, a lot of federal workers haven't gone back to work, but the buildings are just sitting there vacant, and they just own these things. Mass transit boondoggle. California high-speed train is estimated to cost $128 billion, which is more than $100 billion more than expected. So it's $128 billion. And it's more than $100 billion over what they thought it would be originally. Not $28 billion over, $128 billion over. They originally thought it was going to be $28 billion. I know I'm not a math guy, but 128 minus 100, 28. It's $100 billion over that. A 1.3-mile extension of San Francisco's Caltrain will cost $6.7 billion. 1.3 miles. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you get bonuses for failure. The government pays bonuses to employees and contractors even if they have a record of failure. That includes a $10.6 million bonus to a contractor for its performance on a fighter jet program despite delivering the wrong parts, which jeopardize airmen's safety and cause the Department of Defense to have to spend $300 million. NASA is paying more than $500 million in bonuses to a contractor whose project is billions of dollars over budget and years behind schedule. Does that sound like bonus material to you? Nope. I should get a bonus because I have the highest afternoon drive ratings in the history of the station, but I don't get a bonus. But if I'm over by $300 million, then I get a bonus if I work for the government, if I do government work. It's a good racket if you can get it. Unemployment for millionaires, paying employees to do nothing, $1.5 billion on swag, public relations and propaganda, which includes federal government koozies, keychains, coloring books, Snuggies, and costume mascots. Senator Joni Ernst said, let's bag the swag. Snuggies, cuddle up with your government. I guess they want to make the government agents that come to kick in your door if you're a Christian praying outside an abortion clinic cute and cuddly. So they make them cuddly and snuggly with the dark sunglasses on. And, oh, look at the little FBI snuggly. Oh, he's so snuggly as he spies on my family and proceeds to raid my house because my mommy spoke too long at a school board meeting last night. The United Nations spent and mascots. What the hell do we need mascots for? CDC mascots, was it a giant germ? It runs around. Yay! They probably do crap like that. Honestly, they probably do. Team building. DEI team building. I guarantee you they got mascots for that. Probably a unicorn. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. You got year-end benefits to use. Use them, because you're going to lose them if you don't use them. Use them or lose them, kids. Just call his office. They'll work you through it. 856-786-2020 or VanariaDental.com. The United Nations, the United States gives $15 billion to the UN. That's on top of the membership dues, which are themselves higher than any other country. UN staff helped plan and execute Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, in which American citizens were murdered and taken hostage. A 2024 UN migrant plan promotes cash handouts for migrants. That's illegal immigrants, to cover travel expenses, and includes a map with a red line leading right to the U.S. border. Our tax dollars to the U.N. are subsidizing threats to our own national security, Senator Joni Ernst wrote. So there's a lot we can do with Doge. Doge is still my favorite thing. It really is my favorite thing. Although I'm also very excited for all the wonderful things we're going to do when it comes to making America healthy again, the MAHA movement. But you know who's public enemy number one in all of this? Elon Musk. Do you know how many car manufacturers make their cars in California? Guess. Ding, 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 ding. One. Guess the name of that car company. Tesla. Guess which car company has been excluded from any subsidies by the state of California for manufacturing EVs. I'll wait. I'll wait. Take your time. Take your time. And Tesla. So think about this now. Tesla is the only car company that manufactures cars in the state of California. Governor Gavin Newsom, who's a tyrant, has just signed a bill into law that says EV manufacturers are subject to all kinds of giveaways and freebies from the government of the state of California, with the exception of Tesla, the only car company that manufactures EVs, or any car in California for that matter. Uh-huh. That's right. And if you are a classic car aficionado, your cars are going to get banned. Yes, that's right. California, and don't forget, Governor Phil Murphy, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, promised to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast. Well, if you have a classic car, and I know many people in our audience do, I know the Zioli Army loves their classic car shows. If you have a classic car, you're in California, this is their plan to ban them, okay? Because they don't want any gas-powered cars left on the road. They want to eviscerate them. They want to wipe them out. Cut number seven. Seven.
Assembly. Talk to a lot of the lowrider groups. We're in California. We have hella lowrider clubs. And part of my discussion with them was California Democrats want to ban lowriders. And I don't think anybody really took that too seriously. But you should watch this.
Well, the California Democrats are at it again, doubling down on radical green agenda and threatening personal freedom. A state-funded study suggested a ban now on gas-powered classic cars from public roads, claiming they're too harmful to the environment. We're talking parade cars. We're talking hobby cars, the stuff people enjoy. It's the stuff that politicians like to ride in parades in when they're running for a re-election. Let's be clear. Classic cars are a lot more than just vehicles. They're pieces of our history, symbols of culture, and a source of pride for countless Californians. It doesn't stop there. These same people trying to do these bans, whose green policies could hike gas prices by as much as 85 cents, 90 cents a gallon, they want to force you into an electric vehicle while our power grid can't even handle a summer heat wave. Meanwhile, the elites pushing these bans are still flying in private jets, meetups and overseas, and cruising on their big yachts, which spew far more emissions than the classic cars they want to outlaw. It's not about saving the planet, it's about control. We need to cause this hypocrisy and stand up.
Now, these are the same Democrats that went into Latino communities saying, if you vote for me, we're going to lift the ban on cruising. Well, guess what? Now they're just going to not let you drive your car.
That's from Informed Media on TikTok. It's the kind of thing that the corporate media doesn't report on anymore, which is why the corporate media is going away. In fact, Elon Musk and President Trump have decided that the corporate media, they're not going to get those special seats at the White House press briefings anymore. No, it's going to be citizen journalists. Elon Musk has come out and said, you're the media. You, me, we are. Anybody with a camera who can report on what's going on and bring attention to it. Because let's face it, the mainstream corporate media in this country has a narrative and an agenda. So if they're going to ban classic cars in California, they're not going to tell you about it because they agree with it. So they want to hide it, just like they hide so many other crazy policies. Just like they're hiding the fact that Biden is now threatening World War III. Tomorrow is the day before Thanksgiving. Now, by the way, programming note, I'll be in for Jimmy Fallon tomorrow from 12 to 3, which, of course, will be on our station at 7 p.m. So I'll still be on the radio tomorrow, just not on my show. But my point is that we are getting closer and closer to World War III, and I don't mean conversations with your in-laws at the Thanksgiving table, although that could be World War III for many people. Or maybe you'll be wishing a nuclear bomb goes off to save you from some of the conversations with your liberal in-laws. I understand. I get it. I fully get it. Believe me, of all people, I know. But we are teetering towards World War III right now because of this administration. You know that countries in Europe are gearing up to send troops into Ukraine as we speak right now? Yeah. So as we're looking at this, the idiot in the White House pardoning a turkey, we're looking at potential World War III. This is happening. Mike Waltz on Ukraine talking about the escalation that's happening right now. The other side is escalating. This needs to be within a I'm not going to play this because it's just too long, but within a broader framework to end the conflict, President Trump is incredibly concerned about the carnage that is taking place there. That's Mike Waltz. Now, luckily, he's coming into this administration, and a lot of good people are going to be around President Trump to help advise him and guide him, assuming that we all make it there. Assuming that we all make it there. But, you know, part of the reason why we haven't even had conversations about Ukraine going on is, for example, Seymour Hersh, who's an independent journalist. He's the one that broke the story about how the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up, not by Russia, but by the United States of America. Where are the citizen journalists now, baby? And now we got a president coming into the White House who gets it, who understands that, who acknowledges that. And the corporate media is freaking out. They can't stand it. They hate Elon Musk because Twitter's a free platform. They hate his cars because they're built by Elon Musk. And they hate the fact that Elon Musk is going to go in and slash government. They just hate him all around. Here's the CEO of Axios. Speaking of the National Press Club, and he hates Elon Musk. They all hate him. The legacy media in this country hates him so much. And they're melting down over how irrelevant they've become. Joe Scarborough, irrelevant. MSNBC as a network is irrelevant. The View, the entire show now, all they do is come out and say carefully worded legal statements that they have to say in order to not lose their broadcasting license. I kid you not, that's every show on The View right now. But here's the CEO of Axios melting down over this, cut number 5.
Everything we do is under fire. Elon Musk sits on Twitter every day, or X today, saying, like, we are the media. You are the media. My message to Elon Musk is, bullshit. You're not the media. You having...
See? They hate you.
You having a blue check mark, a Twitter handle, and 300 words of cleverness doesn't make you a reporter. You don't do that by popping off on Twitter. You don't do that by having an opinion.
How do you do it?
You do it by doing the hard work.
Yeah, but you're not doing the hard work. You're not doing the hard work. That's the problem. The corporate media in this country doesn't do the hard work. The corporate media in this country does the bidding of the left and the Democrat Party. They're propagandists is what they are. They're propagandists. The people that are doing the actual work are citizen journalists. They're people who don't have a journalism degree. This is why years ago when people talked about licensing journalists, I said, no, don't ever support that. Don't support that idea, because then the government will decide who's a journalist and who's not. You don't want to live in a country like that. Citizen journalists. And yes, many of those people are on X, and many of those people are reporting on things, and many of those people are just people like Paula Scanlon talking about biological men and her swim team. everybody with a microphone and a camera now, which is 100% of us, has the ability to bring information out there. And they hate that because they're being challenged on that. And whether it's Axios, it's the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, whatever it is. But for decades, they've been pushing a leftist narrative. And that while they've been doing that leftist narrative, think about how many stories have been covered up deliberately by the corporate media. It's happening right now in our backyard. It's literally happening right now as Facebook took down a story from the Delaware Valley Journal. That's right. Tech, big tech censorship is at it again. Remember what I always tell you? I always say the unholy triad is the government, big tech, and the corporate media. They all work in tandem together to push a narrative. Well, I saw my friend Jamie today on X post this. She's at JCWCBSD. Facebook is removing negative articles about the Bucks County Commissioners. Delaware Valley Journal had a story about this, and Facebook took it down, saying this goes against our community standards on spam. Delaware Valley Journal is an incredibly respected local news source, but they're not part of the big corporate legacy media, and they actually do great reporting. They do fantastic reporting. It's a go-to site. I check it all the time. But Facebook will take down whatever they like, what they don't like. And that's also part of the issue, is that in order for them to control us, they've relied on corporate media. They've relied on dumbing the masses with gummies and streaming of Netflix and all these other things. And they've relied on censorship. All these things are going away. You know, yesterday, Dan Scavino, who is a deputy assistant to the president of the United States of America, deputy chief of staff. Scavino's been with Trump for a very, very long time, President-elect Trump. He tweeted out, a lot of people since we left the White House have been intimidated, stalked, harassed, have had the government coming after them. Well, we have questions for you. We have a lot of questions for you. Part of what they're going to do when they get in there, and they're going to do this promptly, is begin to uncover just the level of the extent of the censorship with which you and I and so many people have experienced. Me and you, you and I, whatever it is, I don't know. The point is this. You know, as well as I do, because you've seen it with your own eyes, the intimidation campaign by the federal government. But they're not going to do it without a fight, because now first they're going to try to intimidate President Trump's nominees. So this is an important point to note. I've told you that when you give them a little bit, they keep coming. So if, for example, you say you get rid of Matt Gaetz, because you think to yourself, all right, Matt Gaetz can't make the confirmation process, so Matt Gaetz has to go. Well, they smell blood in the water and they turn around and they think to themselves, oh, we got one scalp. Let's try to get another scalp, too. And that's what's happening right now. So they turn around and they're now coming out and saying, well, we need to have serious conversations about Robert F. Kennedy's sex life. We need to have serious conversations about Pete Hegseth's sex life. They're not going to stop, you see, because they don't want any of the disruptors getting in there. They don't want any of the disruptors getting in there. But guess what? You're the disruptors. Yeah, you're disruptors. DelawareValleyJournal.com reporting that angry residents packed the Bucks Commission meeting demanding the resignation of that commissioner who came out and blamed her comments, saying that she was going to violate Pennsylvania election law on Roe v. Wade. That article that was written on November 20th by my friend Linda Stein was censored by Facebook. You see a pattern here? Rand Paul said the other day that he's going to come out and he said all the information we've been looking for and to gain a function research, well, it's not there. They're not turning it over to us. We can't find it. None of it's there. Senator Rand Paul said that's going to change when the president, the new president, gets in there. The censorship hasn't just been on the national level. It's been on the local level, too. But it's the same entities that have been working hand in hand to do all this to us. And they're people on the left. And now it's their time to pay for this. And when I say pay for this, I mean, yes, exactly right. Pay for this. You're going to have to pay up. You're going to have to take ownership for this. And Donald Trump is going to hold people accountable for this. I guarantee you. And the other thing, too, is that people, more and more of us, are turning around and saying, you know what? While we're at it, since we crushed it in this election, since we sent a very clear mandate to Donald Trump and we want to cut the cost of government and we want to return power to the president and take it away from these executive, these bureaucrats, these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats who run the government and think they can do whatever they want. Since we, you, me, all of us, were tired of it and we won with a mandate. Well, we want to do some other things, too, while we're at it. Like, we want to kick DEI the hell out of government completely. Corporate America's waking up. Yes, corporate America is waking back. In fact, CNN is reporting that Walmart is rolling back its DEI initiatives. Maybe Jaguar is not waking up to this fact, but a lot of corporate America is, because they see it. They see you're tired of it, I'm tired of it. The guy who just got elected is going to kill all this stuff. I mean, if DEI was popular, Kamala Harris would be president-elect right now. Just like if the war in Ukraine was popular, Kamala Harris would be president right now. Just like if any of the initiatives to control the information that people receive, whether it's through social media or whether it's through the media, the legacy media, if people approved of that, Kamala Harris would be the president-elect right now. The fact is, we're so fed up of censorship, we're so fed of our money going overseas to fight the war in Ukraine, and we're so fed up with all this DEI nonsense, the indoctrination telling us how terrible we are, trying to divide us left and right. Consumers are waking up to this, corporate America is waking up to this, and soon the federal government's going to wake up to this come January 20th. And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Here's CNN reporting on this, Manu Raju, Cut 16.
Conservatives fighting back against corporate DEI may have scored their biggest victory yet. Walmart, the nation's largest private employer, just announced it is rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives amid outcries over so-called corporate wokeism and claims that DEI is more divisive than inclusive. Walmart says it's ending racial equity training programs for staff, evaluating programs designed to increase supplier diversity, reviewing funding of pride events, and removing sexual or transgender products marketed to children. Now, Walmart defends the move, saying, quote, "We have been on a journey, and know we aren't perfect, but every decision comes from a place of wanting to foster a sense of belonging." Other companies making similar moves, they include Harley-Davidson, Tractor Supply, and John Deere.
That's right. Because consumers are saying enough. Focus on making a good product, okay? Just do that. Focus on making a good product. And the DEI stuff's coming out of government. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to survive. The Pentagon, any, pick whatever three or four letter agency you want and all their DEI initiatives, that's gone. This is a big problem for the swamp. This is a big problem for the swamp and why they're pushing back on all this. And I love it, too. I love the DOGE stuff. Do you know that we're talking about the biggest chance now for a true, peaceful revolution of our government, the likes of which we have never seen before? The likes of which we have never seen before right now. And it goes further. Even education, elite schools like Harvard, Columbia, and other Ivy Leaguers are facing a reckoning from students and donors. And other toxically woke universities, they're paying the price too. A reckoning is underway for the Ivies and other elite universities as top students look elsewhere. They don't want to go anymore. They'd rather go to, say, like the University of Miami, someplace nice. Alumni donations drop. High Point University, North Carolina. Great school, not woke. Not woke at all. Alumni donations drop because these schools have been abandoning their missions and their principles to worship woke. Schools that resisted, like Purdue, Boston College, maybe Clemson, Ole Miss, they'll do well. But the big schools, the biggest of the woke schools, are hurting in a big, big way. And people are turning around and going, no. I don't want to put up with this anymore. Woke schools are suffering the consequences with applicants and donors. Harvard, for instance, saw its early decision applications drop 17%. 17%. There's a reason for that. All across the board, people are saying enough is enough. I mean, woke got its ass kicked in this election. It's not just Kamala Harris, who, by the way, may run again. Please run again. Oh, please. I beg of you, Kamala Harris. I'll give you the first dollar. Really, please run. You'd be the best. You have a chance. Hey, sometimes twice is a charm, right? Kamala Harris didn't just lose. She got destroyed. She was the worst candidate of my lifetime. But woke also got its you-know-what handed to it in a big, big way. This election was a repudiation of a number of different things. The war in Ukraine, wokeism, DEI, the walking on eggshells, and tyranny in general. Absolutely it was. This election was a rejection of all those things. After years of pent-up rage after COVID, when moms were told they might be domestic violent extremists for speaking up at school board meetings, and you as parents were told, shut up, mask up, and then the FBI started raiding people's homes for praying outside abortion clinics, people said enough is enough, and then we all had to take our stupid classes on unconscious bias to learn how terrible we all are. Now, they said enough. Trump is the antithesis of woke. He literally is, if like it was a superhero movie, Trump is the guy that kills woke. If woke is the monster in the monster movie, Trump's the guy that goes in there and slays the beast and knocks the head off the dragon. The woke monster died on election day. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And people are noticing. And you know what? The companies that don't notice do so at their peril. They really do. Like Jaguar, for example. Companies that pay attention will do well. Stories, movies, screenplays, the same things. All those things. If they notice how people actually are and what people actually want and what they don't want, they'll do well. Elon Musk will continue to do well because he has a platform called X where it's actually free speech. But Democrats in crime-plagued cities are flirting with skirting around the Trump administration. Did you know that? Yes, they are. They're looking for ways to get around dealing with the deportations. That's funny, though, when Barack Obama, who was the guy who led the nation in deportations with 3 million, when that guy was deporting people, nobody noticed. But I'll tell you something. The CEO of Walmart addressed the rollback of DEI programs and said, we're going to continue to make the best decisions we can. You know what he said, the CEO of Walmart? John Furner, CEO, he said in the interview that he gave today, he said, like many companies, we've been on a journey. We'll continue to be on a journey. Translation, we got it. We got the message. We get it. And we like it. So we're going to embrace it. This is good. Walmart will do well as a result of this. Companies that reject this nonsense will do well. All right, listen, I got to get out of here. Hopefully I'll be back. We'll see. But Cherry Hill Volvo, my great studio sponsor, I appreciate all their hard work. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill is where relationships matter, and they really, really do. They prove it every single day. Go see them today. You can lease the Volvo XC90. Oh, this is beautiful. For only, listen to this, $687 a month with all applicable rebates. And if you're a Costco member, you get an extra $2,000 rebate on top of that. It's great. It's a beautiful thing. What are you waiting for? Judith, the entire team would love to see you and give you the most amazing offer on a Volvo. That's our family car. We drive the XC90 and we absolutely love it. And there's no better place than Cherry Hill Volvo because there's only one Volvo dealership. That is the Talk Radio 1210 WPHC studio sponsor, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. So don't go to the other low energy Volvo dealerships. Go to Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so the game's over, and that means I'm back for a little bit anyway, and then I'm off tomorrow. But not totally off, because I'm filling in for Jimmy Fallon, so you'll hear me tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. But anyway, thank you for your patience during this. It's fun getting bumped for basketball like the old days. It really is. It's good time. Good times. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about me. I'm all right. I'm all right. Not sad about it. It's okay. But I do have a lot to say, so let me get right to it. First of all, you know, one of my favorite people in the world is Senator Rand Paul. I think he's fantastic. And I think he's one of the smartest guys around, especially when it comes to the United States Constitution. So when Rand Paul comes out and says that these local officials, like the mayor of Denver, these people will be remembered and removed from office if they resist federal law enforcement because they are assisting in an insurrection. Let me play this clip. This is from Face the Nation, CBS Face the Nation. Senator Rand Paul is one of the most libertarian guys there, one of the most constitutionally minded guys there. And as you have these woke cities who are deciding to side with illegal immigrant criminals, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. You're going to side with illegal immigrant criminals. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to side with the people of your community who want to be safe. You're going to side with illegal immigrant criminals. It's hard to believe. I mean, it's mind-boggling, but that's what we're talking about. This is what Senator Rand Paul said in Face the Nation.
That the mayor of Denver, if he's going to resist federal law, which there's a long-standing history of the supremacy of federal law, if he's going to resist that, it will go all the way to the Supreme Court. And I would suspect that he would be removed from office. I don't know whether or not there'd be a criminal prosecution for someone resisting federal law, but he will lose. And people need to realize that what he is offering is a form of insurrection where the states resist the federal government. Most people object to that and rejected that long ago. So I think the mayor of Denver is on the wrong side of history and really I think will face legal ramifications if he doesn't obey the federal law.
Exactly right. And it's not that the states have to enforce federal law, but the states can't stand in the way of federal law. And the other point too on this is that the Supreme Court and the left cheered this decision when Arizona was told the federal government has supremacy when it comes to immigration law. Left cheered it on. They love that. They were all over that. So if the states cannot make immigration law, if it has to be the federal government, then the states can't stand in the way of the federal government from doing their job. They don't have to help, but they can't stand in their way. They can't stop them. And if they turn around and they say, you cannot hide the names from us of people that are wanted on our list because you'll be aiding and abetting criminals. We're not saying you have to drop them off at the ICE. We'll come pick them up. But you can't hide that from us. That's aiding and abetting. This is a fugitive. This is a fugitive who's wanted for a crime. And like any other fugitive, and I saw the movie with Harrison Ford, so I think I know what I'm talking about here. It makes me an expert. Like any other fugitive, if you are on the lam and somebody helps you evade the authorities, then that person is aiding and abetting a fugitive. So how is that any different with these sanctuary cities? Explain that to me. If the city of Philadelphia has somebody that's wanted by the feds, and they don't tell the feds, and they let that person go, how is it any different than if I know the cops are looking for you, and the cops come into my door, and I say, I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. Meanwhile, you're in my, you know, you're in my son porch, having a bourbon. How's it any different? How's it any different if I know the police are looking for you and I help you escape? I help you escape through the basement door and get out into the backyard, run through the woods, you're gone. It's no different. I would get charged. I get criminally charged with aiding and abetting a fugitive, getting in the way of law enforcement doing their job. I mean, all kinds of things thrown at me. So how is it that lefty cities like Denver, for example, get to stand in the way of that? Can you explain that to me? How do they do that? Well, Tom Holman said he's not having any of it. He's not having any of it. Tom Holman is pushing back on this. And he said, if the mayor of Denver wants to go to jail, guess what? I'm happy to send him there. Happy to send him there. Tom Holman is a beast. You know, he really is. He's a smart guy. He's a very, very strong guy. And he's one of those guys that's not going to take the BS of the left. He's not going to take the BS of the left. So when the left turns around and says, hey, listen, we could be a sanctuary city, and Tom Holman says, listen, the mayor of Denver, you want to go to jail? I'm happy to send you there. If you want to be a martyr, no problem. But if you stand in the way of us doing our job, well, to take illegal immigration out of the equation, let me ask you this. If the DEA was going to go raid a meth lab, and the state declared meth labs to be sanctuary, we're a sanctuary state for meth labs, DEA comes in and the state builds a roadblock so the feds can't go and bust the meth lab. It's against the federal law. State says, we don't care. We're going to stop you from doing your job. Would people be okay with that? If the federal government said, we're going to go get Walter White, Breaking Bad, the guy that makes all the meth, we're going to go get him. We need you to turn him over to us. And then the state turns around and gives Walter White sanctuary, doesn't turn him over, doesn't cooperate with the feds, then is that okay? Or is it just a situation when it comes to illegal immigration that the states and the cities are allowed to literally stand in the way of the federal government doing its job? I don't know. I'm just asking. I think Rand Paul knows, though. Rand Paul knows quite well what the answer is. The answer is you can't. You can't stand in the way of the federal government. That's the bottom line. The federal government of the United States of America has supremacy in this issue. We're not saying you have to help. City of Philadelphia doesn't have any obligation to help enforce federal law, but it would be nice if they helped out. But under our system of federalism, they don't have to. But stopping, standing in the way, getting in the way of those things? No, no, no. Those things are illegal. That's the bottom line. Now, if you're wondering, too, what the latest is with, you know what's very, very funny, by the way? What's very funny to me is the hatred that they have for Elon Musk on the left. And I talked about this at the opening of the show today, but obviously that was a long time ago. It was many, many hours ago. There was a thing on CNN that happened, this conversation. And they asked the guy, and people really like this guy, Scott Jennings, the attorney who was on there, former special assistant to President George W. Bush. I have my doubts. I wonder about him being a Bush guy. I'm not totally sold on him, but nevertheless, we'll see. See how he goes. But the question was, who's your source with the claim that X is more balanced than any other platform, that Twitter, X, more balanced than any other platform? Who's your source for that? This is an actual conversation from CNN as they're all going after Elon Musk right now and trying to destroy him. Listen to this.
Also, I heard what you're saying about X. I saw a survey this week. It's now the most ideologically balanced platform.
Stop. It's too early. I just sat down. I've only been here for 2 minutes.
You're going to be embarrassed when I tweet out after the show.
You cannot say that.
Who is the source?
What I find, we've reported it on this network.
It's not accurate, and you know it.
Okay, I'll let you make your statement.
Scott, can I reframe it a different way? Because the site changed radically, right? So whether you think the voices it is somehow more balanced now, that's fine. But no doubt Musk's influence is profound, and that you open it up and now you're there with his opinion, and he is now part of this administration. So does anyone else think that there should be this greater concern about billionaires purchasing media companies?
Okay, would you be worried if Bill Gates controlled MSNBC?
No, because he's sane.
Because
also, I heard what you're saying about X. I saw a survey this week.
See,
it's
the other fact of this too, which is that if a big billionaire like Bill Gates is in charge, then the left loves them. You know what I mean? The left loves them, and that's the truth. That's the bottom line. If you are a young lefty, all right, if you're a young lefty. And you look up to people like Bill Gates, there you go. But James Carville has some words for you, all right? You're 23 years old. We don't give a blank what you think, because you people with your wokeism cause Democrats to lose. Here's the raging Cajun losing his friggin' mind. Take a listen.
Not only am I not interested in your opinion, I'm not even going to call you by your name. You're 23 years old. I don't really give a what you think. And let me tell you another huge error this made is when people said campaigns need to reflect progressive values. No, they don't.
No, they don't. It's true. They don't. Your progressive values got you crushed. You were crushed. You got killed. You got killed because of your progressive values. Killed. Even David Plouffe of the Obama Podcast Bros acknowledges just how bad all this wokeism was. But let me tell you real quick about my friends at Garden State Earthworks, because they are your drainage solutions and they will be there for you every step of the way. GardenStateEarthworks.com. GardenStateEarthworks.com. My buddy Lou Vargo, give him a buzz at 856-786-2020. No, I'm sorry. That's Dr. Venaria's number. What? I'm losing my mind. 856-848-4444. Sorry. It's late, and I had to take all these hours off. 856-848-4444. That's the number. Or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. Now, Lou is the best when it comes to dealing with water problems in your backyard. He will drain the water away for you once and for all, and he'll take care of it. So you want to reach out to him, all right? Because he's the best at what he does. And he solved my wet basement problem. And he also solved my wet backyard problem, too. Winter's on its way, and that water is going to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw. So if you don't deal with it now, you will pay a bigger price this winter, because it's going to get into your foundation, basement, your foundation, your swimming pool, all those. So make sure you reach out to Lou today. All right? GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. We'll be right back.
The Rich Steoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, continuing along here on a Tuesday night after college basketball. So thank you if you actually are listening. But either way, I appreciate it very, very much. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to the Zioli Army for all your incredible support. Oh, hey, mark your calendar, December 20th. Our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. We'll have a great time there. It'll be a lot of fun. I would love for you to join us, okay? I'd love for you to join us. So please do that. December 20th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I do hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you and your family have a blessed one. Justin Trudeau, little man-child Justin Trudeau. No relation, of course, to Fidel Castro, the dictator of Cuba. He's now scrambling to get on Trump's good side. This is End Wokeness on Twitter posting this out here. Take a listen.
Bonjour tout le monde. I had a good call with Donald Trump last night again. We obviously talked about laying out the facts, talking about how the intense and effective connections between our two countries flow back and forth. We talked about some of the challenges that we can work on together. It was a good call. This is something that we can do. Laying out the facts, moving forward in constructive ways. This is a relationship that we know takes a certain amount of working on, and that's what we'll do. One of the really important things is that we be all pulling together on this. The Team Canada approach is what works. That's where putting aside partisanship, that's where I reached out immediately to Doug Ford to agree with him that we would have a First Minister's meeting this week to talk about the United States. Talked with François Legault and some other premiers as well. There's work to do, but we know how to do it.
You're begging, aren't you? You're begging, little Fidel. You're begging. That's right. You're begging. Oh, Caitlin Collins is going to be the new CNN chief White House correspondent. Yes, there you go. White House correspondent. And we have a peace deal in Israel. Biden announced earlier today, good news to report from the Middle East. Prime Minister of Israel and Lebanon, they have accepted the U.S. proposal to end the devastating conflict between Israel and Hezbollah.
Have some good news to report from the Middle East. I just spoke with the Prime Minister of Israel and Lebanon. I'm pleased to announce that their governments have accepted the United States proposal to end the devastating conflict between Israel and Hezbollah. And I want to thank President Macron of France for his partnership in reaching this moment. For nearly 14 months, a deadly conflict raged across the border that separates Israel and Lebanon. A conflict that began the day after the October 7 attack by Hamas on Israel. Hours later, at 2 a.m. in the morning, Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations backed by Iran attacked Israel in support of Hamas. Let's be clear. Israel did not launch this war. The Lebanese people did not seek that war either, nor did the United States. Have some good news to report.
There you go. There you go. So that is good news. Absolutely. And I will tell you, absolutely, I will tell you that is Benjamin Netanyahu, who the left hates. You can give Benjamin Netanyahu all the credit because he did not let his foot off the gas and he kept going. Absolutely. James Carville annihilating the young Gen Z D-bags who all work in politics. I personally love it. The fact that they are realizing now how woke is getting destroyed. But they're going to fight back against our young people too, you know, like Scott Pressler. You know, CNN did a 7-minute hit piece on our buddy Scott Pressler. Aaron Burnett and Ellie Reeves attack Scott Pressler, claiming he's anti-Muslim, which he's not, an election denier, and controversial as well. A 7-minute hit piece. Now, I'm not going to give it the airtime because, quite frankly, we'll do more to give it the airtime by playing it here than if they actually played it on CNN. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you a little clip of Scott Pressler standing on top the High Point Monument in New Jersey, which is the highest point in the state of New Jersey, located in scenic Sussex County in the northwest part of the state, known as the Sussex Skylands, as he declares that we are going to turn New Jersey red.
Hey, everybody, this is Scott Pressler. I'm here at High Point in New Jersey. And I just wanted to reaffirm to you that, yes, we are going to be committing time and we are going to be focusing on to flip the New Jersey governorship from blue to red. And so I had to stake my claim and go to the highest point here in New Jersey. Let's go.
And by the way, there's a lot of snow up there in High Point. It's cold up there. It actually looks like Canada from the picture, but it's not. But it is probably 3.5 hours from here, maybe 3 hours from here. Anyway, it's beautiful up there. Beautiful country. God's country up there, as they call it. God's country. God's country. Let me tell you about Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are fantastic. And right now is an incredible time to get in there and be thankful for all their wonderful spring offers. And I'm really grateful to them for their incredible sponsorship of this program and our station. They are our studio sponsor. That's right. Our studio sponsor, Cherry Hill Volvo. I really appreciate that. Judith Krupnik and her team, they step up every single day to help us. And you should go see them. Now, maybe you're in the market for the XC90. That's the third row family car. I love the XC90. That's what we drive. That's our Zioli car. You can lease it for $687 a month with all applicable rebates. And if you're a Costco member, an additional $2,000 off. There you go. Or maybe you want the S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina. American jobs, baby. Or maybe you want a certified pre-owned. Either way, Cherry Hill Volvo is the place to go. And all the Volvo dealerships in all the land, there's only one that is our studio sponsor and stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. So go see them today. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter. I am so grateful this Thanksgiving to Judith Krupnik and her amazing team for all their wonderful support of our show and our station. I really do appreciate it. Now, Biden pardoned the turkeys, by the way. Peach and Blossom were the turkeys that he pardoned. And Biden I don't know if he also snuck in a pardon for Hunter Biden there. You know what I mean? Like, I was wondering that too. Like, was he going to throw in a little pardon for Hunter and be like, hey, turkey one, turkey two, and also Hunter two, you know, just kind of slip it in at the end. They'd be like, here you go, turkey, take your pardon. Here you go, peach. Here you go, birdie. Oh, and Hunter. No, that's just the turkey's name. The turkey's a hunter, you see. Oh, he is. Oh, he's a hunter. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
The two turkeys are named after Delaware state flower, the peach blossom. And by the way, Delaware has a long history of growing peaches. In fact, the peach pie in our state is one of my favorites. It's a state dessert. And peach blossom flower is also symbolizes resilience, which is quite frankly fitting for today. This event marks the official start of the holiday season here in Washington. It's also my last time to speak here as your president during this season and give thanks and gratitude. So let me say to you, it's been the honor of my life. I'm forever grateful. No matter what, in America, we never give up. We keep going. We keep the faith.
Do you think the turkeys are more cognizant of where they are than Biden is at this point? He's having a good day, though. He's out. You know, at the time he did this, it was early in the morning. They put this out at 11:55 a.m. I think Biden, in terms of turkey time, that's a good time for Biden. You know what I mean? That's a good time for Biden. If you're going to get out there for Joe Biden, you want it to be like 4 o'clock. I mean, you know, like 4 p.m. No, he's done. What? No, he's out by then. Are you crazy? Please, give me a break. I'll tell you something else, too. I don't know if you, like me, are excited about this transition, but I love this transition. I really do. But according to CNN's pollster Harry Enten, a lot of people love this transition. Yeah, they do. They're excited about it. I know the media wants you to think that everybody hates all these people that Donald Trump is appointing. That's not true. They're actually excited. Oh, man. Imagine the hurt and the anger that CNN had to report on this. Oh, this is not good. They don't like this one bit, but I do. I enjoy this. You know, sometimes these clips are painful. But when the left has to say stuff like this, I get excited. This is a little bit of a Thanksgiving gift. Here you go.
Take a look here. President Trump's transition net approval. You go back to November of 2016. Look at this. It was just at plus 1 point. Just at plus 1 point. That is well, well, well below the historical norm. Look at where we are today. Significantly higher. Plus 18 points. That's 17 points higher on the presidential transition net approval rating. The bottom line is this. If 8 years ago Americans were lukewarm on Donald Trump, at this particular point, they're giving him much more the benefit of the doubt. A lot more Americans are in love with this transition. This much more meets the historical norms where normally presidents get that boost coming out of their victory. And what we're seeing here is Donald Trump's presidential transition is getting a thumbs up and, dare I say, two thumbs up from the American people.
And there's some right now, some CNN executive is saying you could take those two thumbs and shove them right. Yeah, this hurts to have to report on that. Up 18 points. Just Don't tell your lefty in-laws this of Thanksgiving. I want you to have a nice Thanksgiving. I don't want you to fight. I want you to have a nice, fun time, a nice Thanksgiving. There's no way, you know what I mean? There's no way you should engage in that stuff. But anyway, here you go.
We're still on the appointment phase at this point, but it does give insight to sort of where this team is thinking to lead some of these key departments, of course. I mean, but how do people feel about the prospects of his presidency, given the context of some of these picks?
Yeah, it's not just that they like what Donald Trump is doing right now. They're optimistic for the future. So, again, let's compare ourselves now versus where we were 8 years ago. And what you see 8 years ago, 53% of Americans were scared or concerned, the majority towards the upcoming Trump term. Look at where we are now. The shoe is on the other foot. 53% of Americans are excited or optimistic. It's flip-flop, where a majority, a narrow majority 8 years ago, were scared or concerned about the upcoming Trump term. Now what we see is that the majority is excited or optimistic about the Trump term.
Oh, you see, and all you people in the media, you tried to scare everybody that he was a big old meanie pants, and it turns out they're excited for the second Trump term. They're excited.
So what we're just seeing is very different numbers from where we were 8 years ago. 8 years ago, folks really were not that in love with the Trump transition. Now they are. And more than that, looking forward to the upcoming Trump term. 8 years ago, the majority were scared or concerned. Now the majority are excited or optimistic.
Look at that. Excited and optimistic. All right, listen, have a blessed Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Remember, if you ever miss any part of the show, you can always get the podcast. Thank you, and tune in to hear me on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla tomorrow, and I'll talk to you then.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.